Konnichiwa. This is Kohinata Nanoka, and you are listening to White Feathers, Episode 1. I hope you like it.
Shiro watched through the window as Kohinata Maki pulled her car out of the garage and drove off, vanishing down the empty road. It was barely 6 in the morning and was just getting light outside. There was a slight chill in the damp, late April morning air. Shiro went through the kitchen interior, noting down internally what he would need to buy. The fridge was considerably empty. But then, neither of the Kohinatas needed much. Maki was away for most of the time, and her daughter Nanoka sometimes gave the impression that she could live off air and water alone. This had triggered Shiro's concern from the very beginning. Nanoka looked slightly underdeveloped for her age. He was no doctor. His concern stemmed from his female teenage psychology memory banks. He tidied up after Maki, but made sure that things were not too clean and orderly. A too sterile environment didn't make his owners feel comfortable. Slowly, he started to prepare Nanoka's breakfast. It was a kind of occupation for him. Instead of merely waiting and shutting down, he would do things very slowly and try to finish them exactly on time. After the breakfast was ready, Shiro checked the bathroom and put fresh towels by the shower. He took away the wet ones Maki had left behind. Upstairs in her room, Nanoka awoke slowly and grumpily, as she always did. She rolled onto her side and squinted at the clock at her bedside table.
7:13? Shi-chan will be coming in soon, too. Ah, wake me up, if I don't get up first. Another day, ne? Another early start. Kazan has probably already left. She's never around in the mornings anymore. Always work, work, work. At least that means that Shi-chan makes my breakfast these days. Not Kazan. Well, time to get moving.
Unconsciously patting at her tousled black hair, Nanoka put on her slippers and left the room, heading downstairs. Her school books were still on the table in the living area, although they were now neatly piled up next to her satchel.
Shi-chan. Always picking up after me. All the time, it seems. It's nice. I wonder what he's made for breakfast today. It had better not be natto again. I know that Kazan owns Shi-chan, but that shouldn't mean she gets to tell him what to make me for breakfast. I don't always get what I want, but that's... that's real life, ne? Shogunai, it can't be helped.
Leaving her books, Nanoka walked through the doorway into the kitchen.
Ohayo, Shi-chan.
Shiro lit up a natural smile as he turned at the familiar voice that had addressed him. He tried to sound cheerful as bangs of his white hair fell all around his head and covered part of his face.
Ohayou gozaimasu, Nanoka-sama. You are up early today.
Hi. You didn't have to wake me up this morning.
Shiro turned on the radio for some background entertainment. He believed that it cheered up the grim morning atmosphere a little.
The forecast says that it will be really warm today. The temperature is already over 16 degrees Celsius.
That sounds good, Shi-chan.
The Persokan didn't mind if it was warm or hot, as long as the temperature was within his operational specifications, which were quite beyond the local weather conditions.
Breakfast will be ready any second now, Nanoka-sama.
Nanoka-sama, Nanoka-sama. One of these days, I'm going to have to figure out how to get you to call me Nanoka-san, or just plain Nanoka.
Shiro smiled. He had a set of facial expressions that he used according to how he assessed a certain situation.
It is not that you have not tried to have me address you less formally. It is your mother that wants me to refer to you this way.
Well, I just don't feel comfortable with it, that's all. I mean, I'm not special or anything. Poor Shichan. Sometimes you must feel like you're in a tug-of-war between Kasan and me. I tell you this, she tells you that, and of course, she always wins out.
Shiro considered her words for a moment. According to the Persokan, humans had an interesting concept of competition, conscious as well as on a subconscious level. It had not escaped his attention that on several occasions, Nanoka's intentions had been in contrast to her mother's. While Nanoka tended in one direction, Maki tried to make sure that Shiro stayed on her side, treating Nanoka the way she wanted him to, which obviously was not the way that Nanoka wanted to be treated by him. But the girl could not override the voice key of her mother that would keep anybody from unauthorized tampering with the Archon 9.
Your mother does not win. She's the customer who actually owns me, and therefore is the only one who has the right to give me instructions.
But maybe not for much longer. I like Shichan. More than I thought I would when he was first delivered. But he can just be so stuffy sometimes.
Recently, Nanoka had been reading the rather substantial manual that had come with Shiro, and which she had to admit that she didn't understand everything she had read. It hadn't deterred her from her plan to free him somehow from Maki's adult, sensible, boring influence.
Dozo, I prepared something fresh for you this morning.
Arigatou.
Nanoka looked at the tray that Shiro had placed in front of her.
Okay. Carrot sticks. Cherry tomatoes. Grated daikon. And, fruit, orange segments, watermelon, and honeydew.
Hi, Nanoka-sama should eat more healthy fruits. You are in your early adolescence, and your developing body requires more nutrition.
Well, hi. And I do like all of the fruits you've chosen.
Shiro observed Nanoka minutely as she seemed to be busy analyzing the breakfast he had presented to her. He nodded happily at her as she confirmed that she liked everything he had prepared, except perhaps...
But a bowl of rice, too? They don't go with each other, Shichan. Especially not for breakfast.
They do not? Please explain.
Nanoka must have heard that question a few hundred times over the last months. She paused again, trying to think how best to explain it.
Well, you just don't... Fruit. Fruit doesn't go with rice for breakfast. It goes with... maybe toast and butter. Or pancakes.
Does not go with rice for breakfast?
Shiro kept himself from citing to her a list of sweet rice dishes that were also eaten for breakfast all over the world.
And the vegetables. It's not that they're wrong, but... For breakfast, people usually... Rice. Rice goes with savory things, ne? Not sweet things like fruit. Thank you for the breakfast, Shichan. I'll eat the vegetables this time. I don't need the rice, though. You can put it back in the cooker, ne? And remember to put it in the fridge later, after it's cooled down.
Hi.
He took the rice away as Nanoka started eating a piece of honeydew.
Sumimasen, Shiro shall remember that Nanoka-sama does not like sweet rice dishes.
It's not that I don't like sweet rice dishes, Shichan. But for the rice to go with fruit, it needs to be sweetened too. Mochi.
Nanoka paused for a moment, thinking longingly of the sweet rice cakes sold at the sweet shop in town. Then she shook her head and continued eating her breakfast.
Mochi, indeed. And the fruit would have sweetened the rice. Rice in itself has barely any taste to it at all.
How would you know, sheep? You don't have any taste buds.
That is commonly accepted knowledge. I do not need to taste it for myself. Every cooking book tries to describe tastes of certain ingredients.
Shiro continued cleaning up as Nanoka ate her breakfast.
Gotsuo-sama. Thanks for breakfast, Shi-chan.
Getting up, Nanoka took her dishes to the sink. She hastily swiped over them with a sponge and rinsed them under the tap. Shiro had a habit of rewashing her dishes if he felt she hadn't done a proper job. So her actions, though quick, were practiced and thorough. Shiro went into the living room to put on outdoor clothes to see Nanoka off to school, something Maki had insisted on.
I had a look at your homework. Are you getting along, or do you need help with anything?
I'm doing just fine, Shi.
I cannot tell if you're doing fine by looking at your books and homework alone.
You worry too much, Shi-chan. Pack my satchel, please. I'll be back down in a little bit.
Shiro turned and nodded as Nanoka hurried past him through the living room and headed upstairs to brush her hair and get changed. He prepared her satchel, fetched a comb and brush from the bathroom, and went to Nanoka's room. With a side glance, he compared his internal clock with the one Nanoka had in her room. They differed by 1 minute and 42 seconds, 1 second more than last month. So her clock was running slightly too fast.
What will it be today, Nanoka-sama? Plain brushing? A ponytail? Or pigtails? Hair grips? Or bandana?
Nanoka looked at him in the mirror as he stood behind her, tall and dignified.
We better hurry. I can do my own hair today.
While she relied on Shiro to help her when she felt like doing her hair, particularly in elaborate styles, sometimes Nanoka just couldn't be bothered spending a lot of time on her appearance. Shiro nodded with almost an air of sadness, letting his arm sink that held the comb and brush. He watched her from behind as she grabbed a hairband from the small container on her dresser, then gathered her hair into a pigtail on one side and began securing it with the hairband. The juvenile hairstyle infuriated Maki, not surprising given Maki's line of work. But Nanoka felt that it was cute. Shiro shifted his focus from the back of her head to the reflection of her face in the mirror and back again. He took note of the slightly absent yet concentrating expression on her face and tried to understand it. He failed.
Koinata-sama has left a note. She said that she loves you and that she expects you not to be too late to school. You shall concentrate on your studies and not daydream so often.
Nanoka only half listened to Kasan's hastily dictated memo. It was the usual message Maki left for her. Don't be late to school, don't slack off, be brave, don't make Shiro do your homework for you. I love you. In her never-ceasing stress over work, Maki hadn't even noticed how superficial and mechanical her messages to her daughter had become.
It seems like the only way that Kasan and I communicate these days is through Shi-chan. It's like Shi-chan's become more real to me than Kasan over the past year.
She finished arranging her hair. After a quick, appraising glance at herself in the mirror, she turned around, still in her pajamas, and shooed Shiro out, waving her hands at him.
Out, out! Let me change in peace.
Hi, Nanoka-sama.
Nanoka closed the door behind him and rapidly changed into her seifuku. Adjusting her scarf, she grabbed her keys, purse, and cell phone from her dresser and slid the door open again. Shiro was waiting downstairs by the front door.
All set, Shi. Let's go.
Shiro locked the door and took a second to adjust to the bright morning light. The temperature had already risen to 19 degrees Celsius. The sky was clear and a saturated shade of turquoise. He gazed up and down the road. Makie didn't say it openly when Nanoka was around, but Shiro was supposed to look after her delicate daughter.
It's such a nice day, Shi-chan. There's a wonderful breeze, and you can smell the sea. The sun's so bright and warm, too. It makes me... It makes me want to skip around or dance or something.
In contrast, Shiro was oblivious to the smells and even the breezes. Even though he noticed stronger winds, the pleasure of a fresh breeze was an unknown concept to him. Nanoka generally felt conflicted on the way to school. On one hand, she did enjoy the faintly salty breeze coming in off the nearby ocean, and she liked the feel of the fresh spring morning. On the other hand, though, part of her was still half asleep and grumbling that a few more hours in bed would be so good. Nanoka liked mornings. She just didn't like having to wake up so early for them.
So, Shi-chan, what are you going to do at home today?
I shall watch television and practice playing some of those video games to be a better opponent for Nanoka-sama and Koinata-oka-sama.
Although Persokons could repeat movements quite accurately in theory with perfect timing, Shiro was not an industrial robot. He had to keep practicing video games in order to improve at them, the same way a human would.
You do just fine, Shi-chan.
And then I will try out one of those Italian recipes for tonight's dinner. Koinata Okasama said that there's an Italian trend these days, and she would like to get more into that culture as she intends to offer Italian fashion via Apollo.
Hi. I think I remember Kasan mentioning something about that. Sometimes it seems like all she talks about at home is business.
Hi, she is really hardworking.
The walk to school usually took about 20 minutes. Shiro walked uncomplainingly at Nanoka's side, carrying her satchel. He casually observed the people as they passed by, recognizing some from their usual walk to school. Nanoka didn't really feel that she needed a chaperone. She'd certainly had no problems walking to and from school when she was in junior high. Of course, her junior high had been a lot closer to home than her current school.
And it is nice to have some company on the way.
And what will Nanoka-sama be doing today? Does the school not have any interesting clubs you want to join?
Hi. In fact, some of the clubs are having open meetings after school today. I think I might have a look around to see if anything appeals to me. So you don't have to come get me until 4:30, ne?
They came to a halt a few houses short of the school gate. Nanoka didn't like showing up at school with an escort in tow. Reaching out, she took her satchel from the Persicon's hands and slung it over her shoulder.
Anyway, we're here. Arigato, Shi-chan.
You're very welcome. Devamata.
See you this afternoon, then.
Waving to Shiro, Nanoka ran down the path towards the gate, her skirt fluttering in the breeze. Shiro stood there for a brief moment, looking after her with some undetectable determination in his water-blue eyes. He slowly lifted his hand and waved it slightly, even though Nanoka was almost out of sight by now. He walked on toward the school's gate and cast a glance over the schoolyard, while other pupils passed him by. For a moment, there was some emptiness. He looked past the trees that separated the schoolyard from an adjacent sports ground. Then he turned and went back home. Barely half an hour had passed when Shiro returned to the Koinata house. Shiro was alarmed to find the front door unlocked. He remembered that he had locked the door when leaving the house. Shiro entered and closed the door quietly. He listened. There was someone in the house. Entering the living room, Shiro detected a small handbag carelessly thrown on the table. It was Makia's. There was a blouse here, too, draped over the back of a chair. It must have been hers as well. Had Shiro been able to smell, he might have noticed the odor of alcohol lingering on the air. He silently moved to the kitchen doorway and recognized the petite figure of Kohinata Makie, Nanoka's mother, in her underwear. She was busily bent over something, but suddenly swung around upon realizing someone was there.
Heavens! Shiro, did you have to scare me like that?
She stood there, awkwardly, with her skirt in her hands. Shiro tilted his head. There was an odd vibration in her voice. He had heard it before, sometimes when she had come home late at night.
Did you consume alcohol, Koinata-sama?
Makia held her skirt up protectively in front of her slender, scantily clad body. Her eyes looked rather dull, but then she relaxed.
To hell with it. You're just a machine.
Makia ignored his question and continued cleaning her skirt.
You don't care, do you, Shiro?
Shiro moved closer to see what she was doing.
I do not care. About what?
Shiro's innocent, tender manner gave Makia shivers. She looked up, smiling meekly at the Archon 9 Persicon.
Why do business meetings always have to end like this? I mean, before they have even started. This manager of Matt's... stupid fool. He spilled his drink all over me, ruining my Gucci dress.
Let me help you.
Shiro took the skirt from Makia, who sat down on a nearby chair, burying her face in her hands and starting to weep silently. This escaped Shiro's attention as he was busy running water from the faucet, trying to clean the skirt. When he was done, he turned to find that Makia was gone. Entering the classroom, Nanoka walked over to her seat by the window and hung her satchel on the little hook on her desk.
Shi-chan thinks I'll be going to club meetings after school today. That gives me time to walk into town quickly. It's only 10 minutes if I walk fast, after all. I can get there and back before he shows up to walk me home. If I'm lucky, the bakery won't have sold out of daifuku yet. Mmm, so soft and so sweet. So yummy and soft to bite into. And then the red bean filling in the middle. Mmm, it's going to be so good. Read this. Wagatta. White Feathers, Episode 1, Ocean Breeze, written by Darkling and Yorun, featuring Tweety Chick 630 as Nanoka, Inga Interweaves as Makie, Yorun as Shiro, and CC Peterson as the narrator. Also appearing were Tylik Azrock and Always Rina. The production team would like to thank all of the voice actors who contributed to this episode. For more information on White Feathers, please visit www.joogn.de/WF. That wasn't so hard. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time for episode 2.
I'm here! I'm here! Am I late?
Futaba-chan?